Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath, September 15, 2018. This is our review, part 2 of our chapter 56, Blessing the Children, part 3. Our opening song is a scripture song of our theme of study, taken from the book of Psalms 34, verses 11, 13 through 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34:11, 13, and 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Welcome, Brother Dick. Praise the Lord that you are able to come in, you one. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, even our guests, would like to open with prayer, Obala. If we can all kneel, bow our heads and our hearts as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and precious Savior, as we come boldly before the throne of grace and begin our study, I pray that you may be able to please bless each and every one of our homes, our children, anyone that is sick, dear one, dear Lord, that you can be able to put your hands upon them. I pray, dear Lord, that you will open our heart soil to be able to plant the seed that you have in store for all of us, helping us, Father Jesus, to walk with thee closer, helping us also, dear Lord, to come boldly to the throne of grace and leave all our matters and cares at your feet. Remember the little ones, dear Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch their heart and their mind, that you may be able to communicate all the matters of the study and even the things that they need to know, Father Jesus. Help us that we may be able to become students of your holy word, helping us also to give us the power to overcome all beset sin in our tabernacle. Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace today, bless our meeting, all the meetings today, Father Jesus. We welcome you that you may be able to be with us. We thank you for being our heavenly guest. We thank you, dear Lord, and we love you. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Our opening verses for our review lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 from the King James Version. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. And I'm going to just sing it for the children to be able to keep us a memory verse. Come now and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet,
They shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, dear ones, let's take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson entitled Blessing the Children, part three, in our study book, The Sign of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, Pabla.
The Sign of Ages, page 516. Encourage the expression of love toward God and toward one another. The reason why there are so many hard-hearted men and women in the world is that true affection has been regarded as weakness and has been discouraged and repressed. Next slide, please. The better nature of these persons was stifled in childhood, and unless the light of divine love shall melt away their cold selfishness, their happiness will be forever ruined. If we wish our children to possess the tender spirit of Jesus and the sympathy that angels manifest for us, we must encourage the generous, loving impulses of childhood. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 516. Teach the children to see Christ in nature. Take them out into the open air, under the noble trees, into the garden, and in all the wonderful works of creation. Teach them how to see an expression of His love. Teach them that He made the laws which govern all living things, that He has made laws for us, and that these laws are for our happiness and joy. Do not weary them with long prayers and tedious exhortations, but through nature's object lessons, teach them obedience to the law of God. Desire of Ages, page 516, paragraph 3.
Continue the reading. Sabbath blessing, everyone. Desire of Ages, 5:17. As you win the confidence in you as follower of Christ, it will be easier to teach them of the great love wherewith He has loved us. Amen. As you try to make plain the truth of salvation and point the children to Christ as a personal Savior, angels would be by your side. The Lord will give to fathers and mothers grace to interest their little ones in the precious story of the babe of Bethlehem, who is indeed the hope of this world. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 517. When Jesus told the disciples not to forbid the children to come to Him, He was speaking to His followers in all ages, to officers of the church, to ministers, helpers, and all Christians. Jesus is drawing the children, and He bids us suffer them to come, as if He would say, they will come if you do not hinder them. Desire of Ages, page 517, paragraph 2.
Let not your un-Christ-like character misrepresent Jesus. Do not keep the little ones away from Him by your coldness and harshness. Never give them cause to feel that heaven will not be a pleasant place to them if you are there. Do not speak of religion as something that children cannot understand, or act as if they were not expected to accept Christ in their childhood. Do not give them that the false impression that the religion of Christ is a religion of gloom, and that in coming to the Savior, they must give up all that makes life joyful. As the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts of the children, cooperate with His work. Teach them that the Savior is calling them, that nothing can give Him greater joy than for them to give themselves to him in the bloom and freshness of their years. Desire of Ages, page 517, paragraph 3 and paragraph 4.
The Savior regards with infinite tenderness the souls whom he hath purchased with his own blood. They are the claim of his love. He looks upon the unutterable longing. His heart is drawn out not only to the best behaved children, but to those who have by inheritance objectionable traits of character. Next slide, please.
Continuing, many parents do not understand how much they are responsible for these traits in their children. They have not the tenderness and wisdom to deal with the erring ones whom they have made what they are. But Jesus looks upon these children with pity. He traces from cause to effect. Desire Ages, page 517, paragraph 5.
Desire of Ages, page 517. The Christian work may be Christ's agent in drawing these children to the Savior. By wisdom and tact, he may bid them to his heart. He may give them courage and hope, and through the grace of Christ, may see them transform in character so that of them it may be said, of such is the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful chapter, dear ones. I really did enjoy it. I hope and pray that you were blessed by it as well. So let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, and this is the theme of our review. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, dear one, what have I learned in ways I have grown? It's going to be open. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests have any question regarding our three chapters of this blessing the children, so bubble up, dear ones.
How can you teach a person to appreciate God if they don't have a lot of interest of things in nature?
Well, Brother Josh, in one of the paragraphs, there is something that we can keep into consideration. It says, as the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts of the children, cooperate with his work. Teach them that the Savior is calling them, that nothing can give him greater joy than for them to give themselves to him in the bloom and freshness of the year. By just bringing to their attention how much Jesus loved them and how he's interested for them to be able to draw near, that could be one of the first tools that you can be able to use. Because just knowing that there is a God in heaven that look upon them and seeking for their communion, that is one of the tools that they can use to be drawn. And then after, with the introduction to Christ's relationship with them, then nature can become a second tool. And that's what I will do if I would have been in that position. There is a question in the room. It says, how does a single parent with many children of all ages keep their children's attention with the things of God? There is another part of the paragraph in our study that might bring a little bit of light in it. It says, as you win their confidence in you as followers of Christ, it will be easy to teach them of the great love wherein he has loved us. As you try to make plain the truths of salvation and point the children to Christ as a personal Savior, angels will be by your side. The Lord will give to the fathers and mother grace to interest their little ones in the precious story of the Babe of Bethlehem, who is indeed the hope of the world. I don't have a lot of children, but I know that I minister to families that may have a lot of children. This is where you're going to have to get the administration, by asking the Lord to allow you to have intimate time with each one of them and have those little moments where you can walk with each one individually. And as you bind their heart with yours as well, asking the Lord to guide you, you can be able to do so. This is what I will do if I was in that position. And there is many comments in the room. Our dear sister said, with our kids, when they were younger, we read to them and also did Bible videos. And also, Elder Rob says, one way is that when the children ask questions, instead of just answering their question, involve them in joining with you in studying to find the answer. That's very true. That way, just a minute, I'm just going to scroll. That way, it brings in the excitement of discovering the answer. So true. Amen. I agree as well. The dear sister said, it's hard to keep teens than the younger ones. That is very true, dear sister. That's why prayer is something that when we go boldly to the throne of grace, He knows their hearts and can be able to reach them where they are. Dear sister, also, I have the same concern about my teenagers as well, but I can say that the seeds of God in His heart. Amen.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I meant to say the seed of God is planted in His heart. I can tell by the grace of God that's a concern of mine, because my son is going to be 17, by God's grace. And it's one of the things that I've always been concerned about him veering off. And I know that when I started accepting the Sabbath truth, it was something that I had to, a lot of things that I was doing that was like traditional, that I had to curb the celebrating of the birthdays, the Christmas, the Thanksgiving, everything of that he was already exposed to from a younger age. And that was something that I struggled with. But I know that the Lord said that if you contend with him, that he will save your children. And I have seen by the grace of God, the things that you may not think that they're listening and you may not think that it's reaching them, but you can see it in the little things that they do. And how they carry themselves sometimes. When you see that they're telling you conversations that their friends are having, you can see that the hands of God is upon them. Because certain things you hear, you're like, wow, and what did you do? And how did you handle that? And, you know, how did you take a part in that? Then, you know, they would say, well, I know, Mom. I know that. I know about God. I know about this. So it's just for us to continue to, not to give up, but to continue to work and continue to pray and continue to instill and continue to teach and continue to do what you have been doing. Because as much as you think that is not reaching sometimes, it is. And that I can thank God for. But it is truly a concern of mine about my teenager. But God be praised in any sense.
Amen. Our dear Brother Dick, he has shared, here is promise, Isaiah 49:25. But thus said the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. Amen. We have also another comment by our dear brother. My concern is Western culture in our communities. Our dear sister also say they remember the lessons and it pricks their conscience when they go astray, which leads them back to God. Amen. So true, dear sister. And our dear brother also saying anything from America and UK are taken as good. I could be able to just share the experience that I have. My son is going to be 19. It happened so fast, I don't even know how that. I noticed that every time when there was something that happened, because I travel a lot with my son, especially because I have to do missionary work, and it also becomes tools that I can use when we sit and speak. He has been exposed to so many different places and different cultures. That becomes like a way for me to be able to go with him and go into the spirit of prophecy, the Bible, history. And it ignites a lot of conversation that if it wasn't for this situation, I would have never got the opportunity to sit with him. Also, it helps a lot when you share Bible reading. You know, we have Bible reading. He studies the Bible in the morning, and also we have evening worship. And if there's have brethren that would like to have companion in reading, because they are far away and they don't have anybody to read, they had asked me if it's okay for me to be able to allow my son to be able to read with them. So when you are involved in sharing the gospel or ministering to other souls, you find yourself always constantly going into the Bible, not only to help them to find the scriptures and the different themes in the spirit of prophecy, you find yourself enriched as well as you're helping along. So if you take a lot of time to be able to go into the scriptures as family, that will help a lot to keep their minds and see things in a different way other than what he's been exposed to in the surrounding. We have another scripture that is being shared by Leroy. It says, here is another promise, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the conker wood and the caterpillar and the palmer wood. I don't know what's a palmer wood. Can somebody tell me what's a palmer wood? It's a worm? Oh, okay. This is Joel 2:25. And there is another one. So those years devout up before your conversion and proper raising of your children will be restored after conversion. Amen. What a promise indeed. There's a comment by Brother Dick. It says, yes, the Western culture brings you to the gospel, but also ours is curses. But also ours is curses. Not sure, Brother Dick, maybe.
For taking so long. Yes, America brings the gospel to all the nations, but not the people who bring the gospel, but our culture brings our curses to your country. Our dress reform or deform, our diet deform, all sorts of wicked things that America dreams up. We share.
Yes, I can see two ideas, culture and religion. Now, probably religion could be the other good side of the world, with those good intensive dress reform, diet reform, worshiping one true God. Meanwhile, the cultures, I can see the other side of the world where there is sodomy so much penetrating African countries, funny ways of dresses, the way they want, they live, they walk, actually they talk according to the world. So that's so much breaking in Africa, and we as ministers find a hard time in containing them, but thank God that in as much as lies may spread the whole world, but truth follows it. And really, I can see that lies can just graft themselves on the truth. But
amen. And this is one of the examples that I was I'm sharing earlier. History will tell that anything that they are doing right now is nothing new. These are the customs that Sodom and Gomorrah has. Rome was destroyed by many of the customs that we have today. This is how we can be able to bring back the truth, not only as history. If we don't take heed, it will be repeated. And you can also reintroduce the same truths that they are standing on to let them see. Now they read the information, they are acquainted with the pillars, but now what they see before them is the fulfillment of it. It can be able to really bless them in that way. There's a comment by the sister says, I am holding on to God's promise of Proverbs 22:6. Now that Blue will be leaving my side as he goes to college next week. We will be praying for you, dear Brother Blue. I am giving him to the Lord with the prayers. He remember and obey the pillars of our faith and to stand true to God. This is the moment where we can be able to see what truly our children have learned and what they have kept very close in our heart. There's always a time that our children have to be removed, but that is how you see what is really growing in their hearts and what they have been taught and how they have been impressed in their walk as well. So as a farmer, as parents, we have to leave the soil of the seed that we have planted and come back and harvest. So we pray, dear Lord, that you please be with Blue and all of our teenagers among us. Help them that they may be able to have their best friend next to them, and that is Christ Jesus. And they may be able to seek truth from the living word where it will never lie, and there is nothing that will allow them to fall if they will continue looking towards the Lord for their guidance. It's my prayer. Well, dear ones, I would like to give Brother Dick as well the time to be able to ask questions. We went over a little minute. If there's any songs or testimonies that anyone would like to share with the body of believers, if we don't have the time to do so in our children's section, please, dear ones, you can be able to do so in our youth studies as well. So we would like to give Brother Dick a chance as well to ask questions in story time. So, dear Brother Dick, I will turn the mic to you.
All right. It's story time. It's review time. I won't read the entire section today, but I will try to recap it so that you understand the message that's to be that we're supposed to learn. With music, with good music, that will be a blessing. Serve the Lord with gladness or happiness. Come before his presence with singing, Psalm 100, verse 2. Let there be singing in the home of songs that are sweet and pure, and there will be fewer words of censure condemning others, and more cheerfulness or happiness and hope and joy. As a part of the religious service, singing is as much an act of worship as is prayer. Indeed, many a song is a prayer. Here's an example. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our feverish way. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. That was a song that was in the older SDA hymnal, and it is truly a prayer. Sister White continues, I feel alarmed as I witness everywhere the frivolity or foolishness of young men and young women who profess to believe the truth. They have a keen ear for music. That means they like music. And Satan knows what organs to excite, to animate, engross, that means make lively and occupy, and charm the mind so that Christ is not desired. When you hear rock and roll music or rap, do you think about heaven? No, because those belong to the devil. Frivolous or foolish songs and the popular sheet music of the day, today we might call it iTunes, seem congenial or satisfies their taste. The instruments of music have taken time that should have been devoted to prayer. Music, when not abused, is a great blessing, but when put to a wrong use, it is a terrible curse. No one who has an indwelling Savior, that means Jesus living in your heart, will dishonor him or make him sad before others by producing strains or sounds from a musical instrument which call the mind from God and heaven to the light and trifling things. Now here is a special reference from the Spirit of Prophecy that I learned in school, and you should memorize it too. Music was made to serve a holy purpose, to lift the thoughts to that which is pure and noble, pure, noble, and elevating, and to awaken in the soul or heart devotion and gratitude to God, or love and reverence and thankfulness to God for his offered salvation. Does the music you listen to please God? It should, if you plan on living with him throughout eternity. Boys and girls, ask yourselves or ask your mamas and daddies to help you understand what music does not please God, and then get rid of it. As the Lord's army of workers here below sing their songs of praise, the choir above joins with them in thanksgiving, ascribing or giving praise to God and to his Son. Isn't that wonderful to think that the angels will sing with us? They don't do that when we sing rock and roll music. That comes from Sons and Daughters, page 179. Serve the Lord with gladness, all are questionless, but then little people don't ask questions except when you're not watching or asking them to. So when I was a little boy, I always had questions about everything. My dad used to say, "Can't you stop asking questions?" Well, he probably knew, and I learned later, that's the way we learn, by asking questions of people older and with more experience. So thank you for listening, and we'll turn this back to Rose if you have no further questions.
Well, dear ones, we hope and pray that you were blessed by these three parts of our study from the Blessing of the Children. May you continue having dialogue with our children, preparing them. So next week, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled, One Thing Thou Lackest, in our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, Mommy, Sozari, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, Babla.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for in this be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ-like spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong, except without even knowing. I pray that you may be with us wherever we may go. And whatever we do, let us be grateful for everything you taught us and everything you've given us. Let us be able to also keep on being grateful for everything you taught us and everything you've given us. Let us be able to keep on giving praise unto thee no matter where we are, no matter what we do. I pray that you may be with us as we continue in studying things in the Sabbath and study things of the Sabbath and of anything else that is biblical and talks about thee. We pray that we may be able to keep on cherishing every lesson that we learn in our hearts and our minds and keep on remembering it even in there are times of trouble that we are having a tough time with. I pray also that you may be able to help any of us just be able to have others be able to know about the Sabbath and know everything in to follow thee. I pray that you may also comfort us. Let us remember what is true, what is false, what is right from wrong, and that you may be able to help guide us so we don't feel like we're lost or if we're alone. I also pray that you may be able to be with our brethren wherever they be. You protect them if there are these places where they go to are tough or hard to get around or even tough. out to live among the people, but that things won't be too hard for them. We also pray that you may be able to avoid all the temptations that the devil may throw at us, that may be able to turn us away from you. Let us keep on looking up to thee. Beloved Lord God, looking forward to being in the land he promised us. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. As Brother Josh was praying, what was brought to my remembrance for the teenagers, there is a beautiful story about the Walgreens children when they had actually went to college, and their influence had a lot to do with a lot of the knowledge that went in there too. And for others, you can also use the story about the only sister that the 12 tribes had and the difficulty she had when she separated herself from the safety of their brothers and their parents. There is a very rich library that we have in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, where you can bring your children to a knowledge of things had happened and how they had been handled by the people of the Lord. I just wanted to share that. So next Sabbath, dear ones, we will continue with lesson 263, chapter 57, One Thing Thou Lackest, and that will be held September 22nd, 2018. God bless everyone, and hope and pray that you will have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.